Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings 19, we begin in verse 14. This is God's word. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God." Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent a message to Hezekiah. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises you and mocks you. The daughter of Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Who is it you have insulted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have heaped insults on the Lord. And you have said, 'With my many chariots I have ascended the heights of the mountains, the utmost heights of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars, the choicest of its pines. I have reached its remotest parts, the finest of its forests. I have dug wells in foreign lands and drunk the water there. With the soles of my feet, I have dried up all the streams of Egypt.' Have you not heard? Long ago, I ordained it. In days of old, I planned it. Now, I have brought it to pass that you have turned fortified cities into piles of stone, their people drained of power, dismayed and put to shame. They are like plants in the field, like tender green shoots, like grass sprouting on the roof, scorched before it grows up. But I know where you stay, and when you come and go, and how you rage against me. Because you rage against me and your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return by the way you came. This will be the sign for you, O Hezekiah. This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs up from that. But in the third year, sow and reap. Plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Once more a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sherezer cut him down with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You'll recall that the king of Assyria, vicious man, sent messengers to call up to those who are on the wall and threaten Jerusalem. They had already conquered a bunch of Judean territory. They had conquered all the fortified cities with the exception of Jerusalem, which was the capital. And so now they're threatening Jerusalem, and it's a scary situation, and they leave, and folks are tearing their clothes and putting on sackcloth. And the prophet Isaiah has told them, don't be afraid. God says, don't be afraid. I'm going to handle this. But then the king of Assyria sends messengers again. In the verses right before our text this morning, we read it last time, you get a renewed threat. Okay? It's not just the previous one. You get a renewed threat. Messengers come again. And this time they deliver a letter. And the letter is not only threatening, but it is mustering as evidence all these other gods who could not stand up to the force of the king of Assyria. Well, the king of Assyria doesn't understand what he's just done. Because he's not just threatening God's people. He's essentially threatening God. Talk about arrogance. So Hezekiah responds by taking that threatening message and going up to the Lord's house, the temple, and spreading it out before the Lord, basically saying, look at this. Please listen to what this guy's saying. Look at this message from the king of Assyria. And then he prayed a prayer that showed that he wasn't just concerned for his own well-being or for the interests of the city. He genuinely was concerned for the glory of God. So, well, I think maybe he was just doing that to try and manipulate God. I don't. I think he was genuinely concerned for the glory of God. Because I'll tell you one thing about God. Nobody fools him. Nobody fools him. I quote it often. Before a word is on my tongue, God knows it completely. He knows what I'm going to say. Before I know what I'm going to say, God knows what I'm going to say. The Bible says God knows the thoughts and intentions of our heart. So, here, he is concerned for the glory of God, and that brings us to our main point. Look at verse 19. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. That should be our prayer. I've heard people encourage folks to pray that there will be a revival in our land because otherwise we're going to lose our way of life. We're not going to have financial prosperity. We're in danger from foreign powers. And basically, life could become inconvenient if we don't get on God's good side. Well, okay, life can get inconvenient if we're fighting against God. That's not the reason not to fight against God. The reason not to fight against God is because God is God. The reason that we need to recognize who God is because of who he is. And when you know who God is, you bow before him. You honor him. You worship him. You want to serve him because he's worthy. He's worthy. Hezekiah talks here about the fact that you are the creator. These other gods are nothing. They were only wood and stone fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand so that all kingdoms on earth, not just Assyria, but the longing of anybody who knows God is we want everybody to know God. You read in the prophets in the Old Testament how God says, I'm going to do this, and then they'll know that I'm the Lord. And I'm going to do this, and then they'll know that I am the Lord. And I'm going to do this, and then they'll know that I am the Lord. And he talks about the various nations and what he will do so that they will know who he is. Jesus says this is eternal life, that we might know him. The apostles, Paul's prayer in the book of Philippians is that I may know him. That is the longing, and we will know him. Not just in part today, but fully in eternity. We're going to see with unveiled faces. We're going to be made like him. Hezekiah prays this prayer, showing that he was concerned not just for his interests, but for the glory of God. The glory of God through all the earth, all nations. And one day, there will be representatives from every tribe and tongue and people and nation gathered around the throne worshiping the Lord. Not everybody's going to be saved, but all kinds of people are going to be saved.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, God heard his prayer. And he sent a message back from Isaiah. And so Isaiah sends a message. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Isaiah's not saying, I heard your prayer. He didn't hear it. He was in another place. But God heard it and said to Isaiah, you tell him I heard that prayer. This is the word the Lord has spoken against Sennacherib. Now, this prayer is very instructive for us because he not only says, what you've done is disastrous for you. But what he says is, I'm the one who planned this. Look at verse 25. Have you not heard? Long ago I ordained it. In days of old I planned it. Now I've brought it to pass that you've turned fortified cities into piles of stone. Their people drained of power, dismayed and put to shame. God's saying, all those victories that you had, I'm the one who gave you those victories. You thought you went out there and did that in your own strength? I gave you victory over those people. I was punishing them and using you. Later, when Nebuchadnezzar comes up against Jerusalem and overtakes it, God tells the people ahead of time through the prophet Jeremiah, listen, you're going to get destroyed. I'm the one who's sending Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's a wicked king. But God uses wicked people. Well, so is it okay to be wicked? No. God also destroys the wicked. The same people he uses? Yes. Well, I don't think that's fair. Of course it is. If all of us were thrown into hell, it would be fair. The good news is God isn't just fair. God is merciful. And some of the wicked people, like us, get rescued from our wickedness and made new. That's really good news. God changes us, gives us new life, grants us repentant faith, opens our eyes to see the truth. That is God's mercy and grace on display. But all these wicked things that people are doing, God isn't saying, I've got to do something. God's working out his purpose. And so the Assyrian king, he was not doing this on his own. God had raised him up in order to punish a bunch of wicked, idolatrous nations, even though he himself was wicked and idolatrous. The book of Habakkuk, the prophet, goes to the Lord. Habakkuk goes and he says, God, there's this really wicked culture that's doing bad things. And I really think you need to do something about that. And God says, oh, you're going to be surprised by what I'm going to do. What God's saying he's going to do is use the wicked people to accomplish his purpose. And Habakkuk's like, what? I don't get it. How can you punish your people through somebody who's more wicked than we are? Interesting question. You know one reason? It's because most people don't have as much information as God's people do. The Jews knew. They had God's law. These other folks, all they had was a conscience. They had a measure of understanding right and wrong, but they didn't have the scriptures. The Jews had the scriptures. They didn't have as many scriptures as we have now, but the Bible was being given by God over the generations. And you know what? The more you know, the more you're going to have to answer for. And so God will sometimes use somebody who doesn't know as much to chastise someone who knows a lot more but is not being obedient to what they know. What are you doing with what you know? Are you eager to know more? Are you eager to learn? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? If you do, you'll be blessed, Jesus promised. So, God said, through Isaiah, God's message to the wicked king of Assyria is, I'm the one who ordained your success. But, verse 27, I know where you stay and when you come and go and how you rage against me. And because you rage against me and your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose. You remember when we started talking about the Assyrians? We said that they used to put hooks in their prisoners. God says, I've got a hook for you, king. Sennacherib, you're going to get a hook through your nose from me, and I'm going to put a bit in your mouth like you put on horses. And I'm going to control you, and I am telling you, you're going to have to return by the way you came. You think you're going on up to Jerusalem? You're not. I will make you return by the way you came. Now, God had already said prior to Hezekiah going up to the temple to pray, God had already said, I'm going to have him cut down with the sword. Don't be afraid. He's not going to hurt you, and I'm going to have him taken out with the sword. That happens before the chapter's over. But before that happens, here's how God made the king of Assyria decide to go home. They had a camp, a military camp, and it was impressive. They had tons of people. And in one night, 185,000 of their soldiers were killed. 185,000 killed in one night. Wow, how did that happen? Well, one angel went and took care of it. This is one angel. One angel who goes into the camp and kills 185,000 of the enemy soldiers. Oh, those poor soldiers. Every one of those soldiers was going to die anyway. I remind you from time to time, we're all going to die. The death rate's 100%. The question is, what's going to happen to you after you die? Don't think that, you know, if I play my cards right, I think I can cheat death. No, you can't. No, you can't. So live for the Lord. Live as one who's going to answer to him. Now, God says, the sign for you, Hezekiah, is going to play out over 3 years, okay? But God says there's going to be a remnant, and they're going to be blessed. Remnant, what does that mean? That means not everybody is going to get in on the blessing. But God says there will be a remnant, because he's going to preserve it. And one of the most precious verses that's repeated more than once in the Bible, God says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Verse 31. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Where is your confidence? A lot of people are nervous right now about what's happening in the world. Okay? There are credible threats from many different directions. I've had people ask me, what do you think about what's going on? I think God is on the throne. Matter of fact, I know God is on the throne. And so I'm not nervous. What did God tell the Assyrian king? God says, I planned this. Your success was planned by me. Well, if God is working out his plan, we don't have to be afraid. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And by the way, just as God promised, that wicked king, when he woke up in the morning to 185,000 soldiers who had been killed overnight, and he decided to go home, he went into the temple of his God to worship a demon, and two of his sons cut him down with the sword, just as God had said. Don't ever try to outsmart God. Don't ever try to deceive God. Don't try and fight against God. Surrender while you still have the opportunity. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.